So, okay, so first thing here, Pete, where are you? There you are. Right, this is for you, Pete. Okay, so. Okay, that guy at one point was driving 280 kilometres an hour. That was not Pete. So, for those who don't know, Pete in his youth was a. Were you a careful biker or? So, Pete, question: what can you tell me about the person riding a bike? Can you tell me anything?
Very vulnerable.
Right. Anything else?
Enjoying the speed.
Yeah. Anything else? What can you say? You be fairly sure about that person. I'm just trying to see if anyone's been listening since 11 o'clock this morning. Okay, so he was wearing a helmet. You kit yourself up, a body protector and a hat, because it's dangerous. You put a helmet on. But then, what we've been talking about today is the things that are not obvious. So, you know, this little guy here, you know, he's not... The things that are dangerous are not so obvious, which are things that come into your head. I put these down because I feel I was struggling to write something down that sort of meant something to me. So I thought I'd write down some of the things that have worried me over the years. Does God love me? And another question often come up against, why does God allow suffering? There's some people that, you know, you love a lot and you see them suffering terribly physically or in their circumstance, and you just, it's hard to understand why. Another thing is, why have I got no peace? Other people seem to have peace. I look around and they seem very happy, but I'm anxious and I'm not settled. And another one, so other people seem happy. Some people seem very exuberant. You know, and you think, really, what's going on there? But I think if every Christian here said, surely there's been moments in your life where you felt exuberant too. You felt like David who danced before the ark. You felt just filled with joy. And there are moments, and they might just be 20 moments. I don't think we should pretend to anyone that you're like that the whole time. That's sometimes, you know, people like that the whole time. You know, sometimes I wonder whether they're really putting it on, they're trying to kid someone. But it should be right in a Christian's life, there should be moments of great joy. But sometimes other people seem to be getting on much better. Why is that? Has anyone in here ever got to the point where they said, is there a God? Sometimes you can get that low, you can kind of ask that question, you know? Another one, am I saved? I came to the Lord when I was 8 years old, 1975. And the thing is, I go back to that. I know I was saved. I just remember the feeling. I can't remember what the preacher said. He was really quite boring. I can't remember. He wasn't someone who was, oh, he's coming to preach. It's going to be terribly exciting. But I came to the Lord that night. And I came out. I got a friend who's Mike's uncle. I came out, told my friend, and Eddie Trim, and I said, hey, you know, I'm saved tonight. And he went, oh, that's not something to be quiet about. You need to tell other people. Which, for a 9-year-old, was quite insightful. Then here's another thing. Why are some Christians so judgmental? Why are people so critical of other people? That worries, can worry you. Now, here's another one. Does God know about everything I've done? Everything I've done. Not even your wife knows, your husband knows, your boyfriend, girlfriend, brother, sister, mum or dad. No one else knows stuff you've done. I used to worry a lot about something that happened, and you just sort of, little things just stay in your head. It's a stupid thing. I broke down with Anthea, and I had a kit car. Which I bought because I was too lazy to catch the bus to work, and I had an old car that was being repaired and I had to use the bus, and I didn't like using the bus, so I someone said, oh, there's a kit car for sale, and I bought this kit car for 600 quid, and I broke down on the way back from Joan and Fran Robinson's wedding, and the fuel pump failed, and the AA man gave me his fuel pump, and that got me home, and he said, post it back to me, and he gave me a little piece of paper with his address on when you get home. And I sold the car 2 weeks later and I forgot all about the fuel pump. And it worried me for years. I mean, it was second hand, it wasn't worth anything. I promised to do something and I didn't do it, and it bothered me because I couldn't put it right because I'd lost a piece of paper. And I certainly didn't have the fuel pump anymore because it was in someone else owned the car. Silly little things can just go niggly, niggly, niggly in your mind. So another one that sometimes people worry about and perhaps we've thought about this, is Jesus coming again? That's the promise. Well, you know, life carries on. And another thing, well, Jesus is coming again, and before I say, well, will I be left behind? My cousin, one of my cousins, he loved playing the guitar, and he used to come and see my grandparents, and I'll tell you, my grandparents, they lived with us. My grandfather was not a guitar man, right? He was a very nice chap, very nice old gentleman, very nice old Christian. He wasn't a guitar man, but he smiled a lot. And, you know, my cousin used to come in with long hair and play the guitar. And he was a very sincere Christian. And he used to play this song, and it played on my mind. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come, and you've been left behind. That used to worry me as a kid. Imagine being left behind. So these are all things. Is heaven real? We don't have to go and play on our minds about any of these. So the kind of answer to those things is what I wanted to talk about. So Paul says in his scripture, take the helmet of salvation. You have all these things going in your head. Tim's talked about them, both Tim's. Everyone's talked about them. How do I protect my head? Because my head controls my body, it controls my feet, it controls my hands, it controls what I do, it controls where my eyes look. What should I do? So here's some things that help me. It may not help you, but they help me. And there's some verses of scripture, okay? So here's some verses that help me. I don't know if they help you. First of all, does God love me? This is a wonderful scripture. Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. A man that actually seemed a bit self-righteous when you read the scripture. The Lord Jesus loved him as he was, not as he would have liked to have been. The Lord loves you as you are. Another one. Given life eternal, they shall never perish. No one shall seize them out of my hand. Once you've committed your life to the Lord, nothing, nothing, nothing can change that. And that's really important because that's the biggest doubt Satan attacks you with. Oh, saved and now I'm lost. It's not true. Don't diminish the power of the blood of Jesus. Shall never perish. No one, no one shall seize them out of my hand. Make that verse your own. And the Authorized says, fuck them. It doesn't matter what translation you use. Just make that verse your own, and that will give you absolute assurance. We know this verse. I didn't want to talk about it in detail. It's a beautiful verse. I travel a lot in my job. I go to lots of hotels, and generally find a Gideon Bible there. And when you open it, this verse is there, and it's translated into multiple languages, over 100 languages. God so loved the world. Does God care about the suffering in the world? Of course he does. He sent his son, the son of his love, his only son. Of course he loves the world. He loves the people in the world, not the world system, the political and all that. He loves the people. Here's another one. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Not some, not the ones I remember. Not the ones I committed last week. All, past, present, future. Make that scripture your own. All sin. You know, if I really believe that, I'd be really happy. It's a question. Are you really happy? If you know that, you're going to be really happy. Got no guilt, no conscience about that. And here's another one. The peace of God, which surpasses every understanding. And that simply means to me is, you know, a peace you can't explain. You know, someone said, well, why are you happy in this situation? Well, I'm going, no, I can't explain it. I just am, you know. It surpasses every understanding, and it will guard your hearts, your heart, your emotions, and your thoughts. And that comes as a result of prayer. I'll just come on to that in a second. So, Those are just some things, verses to help us, and as we consider the helmet. Now, the next scripture says, and take the helmet of salvation, and some people sometimes misquote scripture, don't they? They take a bit of scripture, they take the bit they like, and they use that, and so they say, I take the helmet of salvation and the sword. Oh yeah, I'm going to take the sword. So I'm going to get the helmet, and I've got the sword. And if you only take one bit of the scripture, you can get the sword. And this little character is a cartoon of Peter. And this poor man here is a fellow called Malchus, who you'll find in the scripture. Bondman, the high priest. Peter loved the Lord, we heard about it earlier. And what did he do? He had a sword. He had a physical sword. And he wanted to protect the Lord Jesus, and he lashed out. Now, you may not have a physical sword, but you might use strong language, violent language. You might use your intellect to hurt someone, to chop off their ear. And just by applying that simply, it means that they're not going to listen to you again. You spoke in such a hurtful way, they'll never listen to you again. You might not slice their ear off, but essentially it might become deaf to what you might have to say. So it's not that. It's not that. It's this. Sword of the Spirit, which helpfully, Paul tells us, is the Word of God. So, seems a bit peculiar, doesn't it? You know, you've got the Bible and you've got a sword, and the sword seems quite a violent thing, and it's the only bit of offensive that's offensive in the rather defensive. So let's just think about this Bible. Now, I've used this many times at our youth club. I ask the kids, who's got a Bible in their house? Oh, yeah, I've got a Bible. Where is it? Oh, I don't know, somewhere. See, most people have got a Bible in their house. Most Christians have got a Bible. A lot of you in the room will have your Bible on your phone. But you know, if it's like this, metaphorically, it isn't a lot of use to you. So I'll give my analogy. So, here's the sword. And it's in the sheath. Okay? So, some wicked thought comes into your head, or someone says something, and you say, oh, hang on a minute, let me just go and find my Bible. I've just got to find my Bible, and just wait there a second, let me just get myself all ready, or, you know, hold on. Let me just think, I've got my phone somewhere, I'll Google it. You know, that's like having your sword in your sheath. Whereas, you know, you've got to be kind of ready. And, you know, you've got to know some of these verses of Scripture and make them your own. Don't borrow them off someone else. Make them their own things. You don't have to know a lot. You're not asked to remember the whole Bible or anything. But make some things your own and so you're ready. You know, one day, and some of you know this story, and it stayed with me. The girl at work, I'm going back, she was 21, I was 22, she challenged me about the coming of the Lord. And maybe I wasn't very wise. But I said, you know what? Because I just read it. You know what? That's what Peter says. Peter says, in the last days, there are mockers walking with mocking. And I was ready on. And, you know, 20 years later, when I heard her in front of a hall of people, talking about her conversion, she said it was someone at work and he's here tonight and it was because he was so definite. And I was passionate, I believed it. I said it because I believed it and I was sure about it. And sometimes I think, as I got older, have I got less definite about my faith? Have I got, I don't want to upset someone or be very soft about it? No. It's not about being violent, but it's a Bible, the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And the reason the Roman Empire became so powerful was partly this discipline that Tim talks about with the shields and how they worked and their armour, but it was also due to their sword, which was 2 foot long. It was made for, you know, for those who are metallurgists in the room, made by an incredible sort of welding process for the time. It was very sharp, and actually it could be used that way and that way and that way. And other people's swords only works on one axis. And in one of the battles in the history of the Roman Empire, people were shocked at the damage done to the opposition by these swords. And that's what Paul's drawing attention to. It will sharpen both edges. Now, sometimes when you ask old Christians, well, why does he say sharp? Why do you keep telling you it's sharp on both edges? And sometimes it might seem a bit trite, but they say, well, there's an edge. There's an edge to use on yourself. What's wrong in your own life? There's an edge to help someone else who might not know where they stand to be a blessing to them. So I'll come back. Read me. Now, here's the thing. Does anyone know the answer to this question? How many Old Testament scriptures did Peter quote when he was preaching in the Acts, his first preaching? So he was a fisherman. And you think, well, he wasn't like the Apostle Paul, who'd spent a lot of time being trained. He quoted three scriptures, 11 verses of his first preaching. Three were from the Old Testament. He used the authority of the power of the Word of God, and 3,000. As a result of his two preachings, there was this great number of people brought in, 3,000 that we heard about, and then there was 5,000. And that's the power of the Word of God. I mean, Peter was only a fisherman. He wasn't like some great orator. He knew the Scripture, and under the power of the Spirit, those verses of Scripture were brought to life to make a massive change. So, here's some verses again to just help us here. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. That's a wonderful psalm. It might look really intimidating because it's very long. It's the longest passage in the Bible, chapter in the Bible. But that is a wonderful verse. It's a lamp. The Word is a lamp. It illuminates where to go. And then what Peter says is, in your hearts, revere, exalt, revere Christ as Lord. Now, here's an important thing. Always be prepared. And Tim talked about that earlier. Be ready. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Sarah was telling us earlier, where are you, Sarah? There you are. Sarah was telling us earlier about a farrier, a man who fixes the horse's foot, in my simple language, apologies, maybe, and Sarah, and Laura and all kinds of other people in here that ride horses. the fellow that came around, coming for 7 years, and then asked Sarah one day, what do you believe? Well, what are you going to say? Have you got something ready? You say, oh, hold on a minute, where do I begin? No, you need to be ready. Hey, this is what I believe. But do this with gentleness and respect, is what the NIV says, as other. But be gentle. Gentle with the Word. The Word of God is sharp, but how you approach someone, you can be gentle. So I'm just going to finish with just one quick thing, and that is about prayer. And this is very personal, and I value your prayers on this. I've had two of my prayers answered this week. One is I've been praying for a long time that our youth club might start again, and two children appeared last week, and I'm praying that they come tomorrow, because it grieves me after 20 years of talking to children that they fell away. So it was a wonderful thing last week to see two of them. Second thing, Anthea won't mind me telling you, for 6 weeks I've been sitting under the anxiety, or Anthea has, got a cancer scare, and the Lord answered our prayers yesterday, and she got the all clear. So, here's some last verse to help you. Be careful about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything, not some things, in everything. And this wonderful verse, which we quoted before, the peace of God, which surpasses every understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts by Christ Jesus.